Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
God of grace, God of mercy, God of hope and God of love, we come before you this morning with a posture of humility, a posture of opening ourselves to you, to your word, to your wisdom. And we recognize that that requires humility, authenticity, and deference. So may our word intercede, may our hearts be open, and our minds be ready to hear your word to us today, your people. Amen. Luke tells that the parable Jesus teaches this morning is directed specifically to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Well, all I can say is thank goodness this parable isn't written for us. Good thing it was told for those other people. You know the kind I mean. Good thing it was told for people who worship on those big stages with those worship bands, with those smoke machines. Good thing it's written for those people who really need to hear it. Good thing it was told for the hypocrites who come to church on Sunday and then act completely different on Monday because, you know, they really need to hear it. I hope they came to church today. That's what this parable is for. Good thing it was told for the people who seem to have hijacked Christianity and seem to think they can pontificate their religious beliefs on the rest of us because God knows they really need to hear it. No, Jesus tells this parable for the benefit of those kinds of people, but because, you know, we are so humble. We are so humble. We're such good people that maybe we can humor Jesus this morning and listen to his person is the picture of religious perfection. He knew the scriptures. He has a WWJD bracelet on his wrist. He has a cross around his neck. He has a fish on his car, and he's got a Bible at his bedside. He could have prayed at least three times every day. He fasted twice a week. He would not comb his hair or wash his face, and he wore the most wrinkled and rumpled clothes that he could find. He even put ashes on his face to make himself even look a little more pale from his fasting. He tithed everything he possessed. He even tithed the herbs that he grew in his garden, often giving more than 20 or 30% to the needs of the temple. This is the kind of guy you want at church. He was religious perfection. A plus. The second is a publican. This person is the picture of corruption and greed. This guy was hated by everyone. He worked for Rome and he collected three kinds of taxes from the people he conquered. They collected a land tax, a head tax, and a custom tax. The chief tax collector would pay Rome for a certain area in the district, which gave him the authority to collect the taxes there. And then he would in turn a sublease that area to tax collectors, and the chief tax collector would set his own rates, and then the men would work for him to set their own rates. And as a result, Rome received its taxes by the chief tax collectors, and the local tax collectors grew wealthy from extorting large sums of money from the common people. As a tax collector, this man would have been known for his greed and for his dishonesty. He would have been viewed as a traitor to Israel and not even worthy of any compassion or any concern for anyone around him. The best thing about having a guy like him in church is that at least everyone knew that they were going to get into heaven before him. That's for sure. This person is the picture of corruption and greed. So here are these two very contrasting characters in the parable. Next, Jesus has us eavesdrop on their prayers. And not only do we hear their prayers, we can imagine their posture, the way they stand when they say their prayers. First, we hear from the Pharisee. And since he was an A student, we should really listen to what he says in prayer, because I bet his prayer will be super good. He goes into the temple and he sees the publican back in the back corner where he belongs. And he goes up front and he stands tall and he faces the direction towards the sky. And he says out loud for all the people to hear, "Dear God, thank you that I am not like that corrupt publican cowering back there in the back. I'm so glad that I am not a sinner like those kinds of people. Amen." Next, we overhear the publican, whose posture is quite different. He's quiet. He's not taking up much space. His face is bowed, I imagine, and he has seven words. "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Once again, Jesus turns a spirituality of climbing and achieving and perfection upside down. Jesus teaches again that the ones who have done it wrong and are humble about it are the ones who are forgiven and transformed and rewarded. Those who are proud of how they have done everything right, but also feel superior to others or feel they are now entitled, are not up to God's blessing. This is Jesus' great reversal theme, and he does this all the time. He always is turning religion on its head. We thought we came to God by doing right, but lo and behold, surprise, surprise, we come to God by doing it wrong. We come to God by recognizing our imperfections, where we fall short, where we have failed, where we have grown because of what we have done wrong. The only thing strong enough to break open the heart are things like pain, mistakes, unjust suffering, tragedy and failure, and the general absurdity of life. I wish it were not so, but it clearly is. Just in case clarification is needed here, Jesus is not suggesting it's okay to have a corrupt job on Monday because you can go ask for forgiveness on Sunday. What he is saying is that the posture you take when you are praying matters. What he is saying is that the publican and the Pharisee are equal in their need for mercy. As my dad always used to say, everyone puts their pants on the same way. What he is saying is that the publican and the Pharisee have a shared humanity. The convict and the judge have a shared humanity. The ICE agent and the immigrant have a shared humanity. The evangelical Christian and the non-Christian have a shared humanity. And when we realize that our shared humanity and that we are sharing that together and that we do not pray against each other, that we realize that when we pray for each other, when we pray for mercy, we are able to recognize that we are all fragile and vulnerable, flawed human beings capable of thoughtlessness and cruelty. We also recognize that no one is born evil, and that we are all more than the worst things we have done in our lives. A human life is the mixture of goodness and beauty, cruelty and heartbreak, indifference and love, and so much more. We want to divide the good from the bad, the saints from the sinners, but we cannot. All of us share the core qualities of our human nature. And so sometimes we are generous, and sometimes we are selfish. Sometimes we are thoughtful, and sometimes we are thoughtless. Sometimes we are kind, and sometimes we are cruel. This is not a belief. It's a fact. In seeing the many ways we are similar and how our lives are inextricably linked, we can find empathy and compassion. And in finding empathy and compassion, we are able to move to the direction of forgiveness. Ultimately, it is humble awareness of our own humanity that allows us to forgive. Archbishop Desmond Tutu once wrote, "We are, every one of us, so flawed and so very fragile. I know that were I born a member of the white ruling class in the time of South Africa's past, I might easily have treated someone with the same dismissive disdain with which I was treated. I know, given the same pressure and circumstances, I am capable of the same monstrous acts as any other human being on this achingly beautiful planet. It is this knowledge of my own frailty that helps me find compassion, my empathy, my similarity, and my forgiveness for the frailty and cruelty of others." A martial arts student met with his instructor for tea. And the student said to the teacher, "I've learned everything I can from you, and I know everything that you know, and I want to learn one more thing now. Please teach me about the ways of God." The teacher took a tea kettle and started pouring the student's cup full of tea. And soon the cup overflowed and spilled all over the saucer, and then it started spilling all over the table and onto the floor. The student finally stopped and said, "Stop, stop, the tea is spilling everywhere. The cup can't take any more." The teacher looked at the student and said, "You are so full of yourself that there is no room for God in your life. It is not possible for you to learn the ways of God until you learn to empty yourself." That is a good lesson for all of us to learn. Look, the Pharisee in today's gospel is not a bad guy. He's not wrong or worse than the tax collector. He's afraid. He's afraid to face the truth of his own life, so he justifies himself. The tax collector, however, faces the truth about himself, and he alone goes home justified. In facing the truth about our lives, we open ourselves to see and honor the truth in another one's life. That's the work God has given us to do, and it is some of the hardest work we will ever be called to do. That's a choice we make every time we encounter another human being, whether it is family or friend, stranger or enemy. It's a choice we make when we leave here today having been told, "Go in peace, love and serve the Lord." May the Christ in you see and honor the Christ in others. And may the Christ in others see and honor the Christ in you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.